People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I'm your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and as always, I'm here with...
Ben Ellis.
Ben Ellis, yes.
Andrew Chamberlain.
And Andrew Chamberlain.
I just want to say one time, I want to speak before Ben.
Do you?
I want to be Andrew instead of Ben.
I mean, we're arguing before we even got the topics out here. This is unbelievable.
Well, we're trying to make it,
lively.
This is what gets viewers and or listeners. I mean,
viewers.
Fights. Not viewers.
All right. So anyhow.
We're saving the fights till we actually get video. And then we're gonna...
Yes. Yes. No doubt. So as we typically do, we do want to encourage reading and being a new year. We actually have a devotional that we are going to be giving out for this particular episode. So please like, please subscribe. We'd love to double our subscribership here over the next 12 months. And I think we can do it too. I think so. It's definitely feasible. It's the J.I. Packer Classic Collection from Nav Press.
Is it a devotional? Is that what you
said? It is, yeah, every day. Yep. Daily devotions, daily readings for your spiritual journey.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it comes out of all of, Packer's books and things. So anyway.
I think it smells good too, right?
It smells delicious. It does. Okay.
For those of you who need extra fiber in your diets.
So, anyhow, this is what we're going to do for this particular episode. Last episode for Christmas, what we did was, we kind of talked through some things. We did do a little bit more prep this time than we did for the last episode. With that being said, where we're going to start, we're going to kind of look back over the last 20 years. We're going to look at where we are currently and take a look forward as well. I think one of the things we'll actually see in this, actually, Pastor Jeff this morning, his message was that God is with us in the present. God was with us in the past, and God will be with us, yes, in the future. And so with all that being said, as people in exile, what I want to ask, and who wants to start us?
Ben does.
Ben, I want you to tell us, 20 years ago, again, we are on the eve of 2020. We're on the eve of a new year. We're on the eve of a new decade, in fact. It's been 20 years since the turn of the century and the turn of the millennial, and here we are. And so I want to ask you, in the year 2000, moving from 1999 to 2000, what did the Ben Ellis look like at that point in time? What was your life like at that time? Where were you?
What were you doing? I was.
How old were you?
In 2020?
Yes.
Or in 2000? Yes. I was 20.
Hey, happy birthday 2 days ago, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I was 20 years old. Yeah, I was 20. I was born in 1980. So I was 20. I had finished high school, obviously. Graduated in 99. I was in my first year of my associate's degree, which was supposed to be in business, but ended up being in fine arts. So I have an associate's degree in fine arts, and I was going back and forth. I was going to school in the spring and fall, and I was working at a whitewater rafting company through the summers.
Guiding
whitewater rafts.
And were you married?
I was not married. I was not married. In fact, I was dating my wife. We met in high school. We started dating in September of 1997.
So y'all have been dating for about three years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been dating for about 3 years. We got engaged in 03 and married in 04.
What river were you guiding?
The Nantahala and the French Broad.
I've been down the, say the N one again.
The Nantahala?
Nantahala. I've been down that one.
Yeah, it's a really easy river. It's great for families, which
they
is
do
one
a lot
of the reasons
of
why I like
and stuff on that one too, don't they?
Not a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
Because the water is freezing cold.
Oh.
It's dam release, but it's actually released instead of being a spillover dam. It actually comes from a pipe from under the bottom of the lake. Mm-hmm. So
have you been on that, Chris?
I don't believe I have.
Western North Carolina, right?
Yeah, Western North Carolina. It's actually Western North Carolina. It's actually the place where the Nantahala Outdoor Center is in.
Well, one of the things I wanted us to kind of talk through, and we'll talk to you, Andrew, in a second, is what has changed, right, in those 20 years. You've already mentioned a couple of those things. You got engaged. You got married early on.
Got engaged, got married. Yep. I now have two kids.
And now you have two kids.
I now have
two daughters.
Bachelor's degree in theology and a master's of divinity with a concentration in apologetics. And
got a job?
I got several jobs in between now and then. And I am currently, in 2020, I will be going into my third year as a small groups pastor of Northwest Baptist Church.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. You've only got like 4 days left to fire me. So
4 days.
Dun, dun, dun. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. All right. So, Andrew. Horrible. Yeah, Andrew, tell us about your life in 1999 going into 2000.
I was I turned 16 in 2000. Yeah, so most of the year, so that had been December 2000. So most of the year I'd have been 15. So that was, we were commenting prior to the episode, I did not know Michelle yet. Michelle's my wife. 15 going into 16. I'm trying to remember what kind of person I was. Probably weird.
Mm-hmm.
So not much has changed.
Whoa.
We're good.
So back to that 4 days. Is that how many we got?
Member abuse.
Let's see. I was, you know, I was in the faith. You know, I believed, and that was a real. It was a real. You know, my faith was real then. I would have been what, sophomore, 15, something like that. Sophomore. You know, going to school. I didn't have a
in the States.
Yeah, I was in. I was in East Tennessee. It's where mm-hmm. I grew up. Spent all my life until my last high school year. I was a part of a good church. I really enjoyed my church. Played baseball. Trying to think what I played basketball at that time. I think good friends. You know, I'm still friends with a lot of those people today. There wasn't any kind of like tragedy or anything like that in my life. I mean, it wasn't a rough year. You know, it was just a good. You know, mm-hmm. just it seems like it was pretty normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
For me, in 1999, moved into 2000, graduated from high school in 99, right? So started college there at the end of...
Where were you again? Where did you graduate? What's the name of the city?
Well, Plant City, Duran right. High School. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And that was a 99, you know, middle 99, and then I started at USF, then ended up going to ATC, and then ended up going back to USF, and then eventually to Stetson. But anyways, in 2000 in particular... So I was obviously not married at the time. I didn't get married until 2009. I met Stephanie in 2005. Or I'm sorry, 2003. Sorry. Yeah, 2003.
Stephanie, please don't listen to this episode.
She's not. We got nothing to worry about. So anyways, 2003, I met her. So at that time, I wasn't married. You know, going to church. I was playing in the orchestra at the church that we were attending.
Was this
at the
Bell
time.
Shoals?
Yeah, Bell Shoals in Brandon. Yeah, yeah. Let's see.
You were at USF then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, USF at night. I was going to night school and I was working.
Oh, were you
yeah, working at the post office. Yeah. Yeah. It started there. Did that year.
Where did you didn't tell us where you were at school. But sorry. I'm switching.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
Ben
that's
and I apologize.
Right.
No, I was at Santa Fe Community College.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's the feeder for UF. Right?
Correct.
All right. Cool. Sorry.
No, it's all right. So, anyway, that's where I was at that point. Obviously, no kids, not married. So it was school and working at the time, and that pretty much was it. You know, hanging out with friends and stuff. You know, you said I don't really remember who I was at the time. I didn't really like that guy. I think back to that guy who he was, certainly in high school in particular, and not a good guy. I didn't like him. I wouldn't. I think if I knew him now,
would you be friends with
him? I don't think so. I don't think
would
so.
Would you want to mentor him?
Oh yeah, I think so. If I could stand him, if
what
I
would
could
you
stand
tell
around him?
Him.
Oof. You're right.
Oof. Yeah. That's what you tell him.
Yes, exactly. Now, so this is the thought. It's been 20 years. Just to kind of put
that's
some
wild,
yeah, yeah. It? So put some perspective on that.
Yikes.
The 20 years. So kids that were not even born yet, right? In 2000, not only have been born, but have now gone through grade school, gone through middle school, gone through high school, have graduated high school, and are now into college. That's how long.
Well, one of the things that always hits me, and this happened to me about 2 years ago, was that I've done youth ministry for a variety of years, but one of the things that hit me was when I performed a wedding for one of my middle school students.
Yeah, yeah.
They came to me as a middle school student, and then I performed their wedding when he graduated college. So there's a lot of that. That kind of hits you kind of hard.
Yeah.
Gives you a lot of perspective.
So with that being said, Ben, we'll come back to you. What does your life look like today?
Golly, my life looks like today very, very different. I'm married and I have two kids. Both
if you want to say how old they are?
Our oldest, Lexi, is 9. She'll be turning 10 here real soon. And my youngest, Danica, is 2. She is a delight. Actually, they're both a delight in their own way, both positively and negatively. But I think the biggest differences for me really is just the process of maturity and sanctification that goes on, that God is continuing to work in you, and he uses, and I think this is something interesting that Pastor Jeff actually mentioned, that when you look back, seeing where the places that God has carried you through, when in the time and in the moment, you're like, I never would have thought about that, you know. But I think the biggest changes have really been being a dad to two girls is crazy. It's really nuts being a dad of two girls, and I just it's very life altering. it makes you have to see the world in very different ways than you would as just as a dad to boys, I think, because you have to begin to kind of navigate that emotional.
Well, let me ask you this, as a parent, parenthood in general, how much different is life as a parent versus life as a either married with no kids or even a single person? How much different is that life?
You know, it's really strange. I don't have a great answer to that. When our first daughter was born, a dear friend of mine asked me, he said, "Hey, Ben, what's it like going from not having a kid to having a kid? I mean, because you've got like 9 months to prep for it. You know, it's coming. But at the same time, it's like, what's that difference?" And, you know, I was kind of flippant at the time. And I said, you know, the big difference is that at one moment, there's one person you would kill somebody else for. And then all of a sudden, there are two people that you would kill somebody else for. Right. You know, it's just that amazing, you know, and I don't mean that, I'm not homicidal by any stretch of the imagination, but just the sense of like, that's the length you would go to. Mm-hmm. You would really lay down everything you have for this other person. Mm-hmm. And there's really no like justifying any other way about it. Mm-hmm. You're just all of a sudden, it's just this, you know, yes,
but,
no.
You know, and go even further than that, you know, you said you would lay down anything. There is a lot of, there's a significant amount of sacrifice just by the very fact that you have them, that you have your children now, right? I mean, there's significant sacrifice that you are more than willing to make.
Absolutely. In fact, you don't even see them as sacrifices. Yes, that's the crazy thing.
Right. Right.
Is that if I had looked back as a 20-year-old, you know,
going back to 2000,
back to 2000, you know, I was a whitewater raft guide. Mm-hmm. I had a 2-door Honda Prelude. Mm-hmm. Right. You cannot fit baby cars or baby seats in a Honda Prelude. Not even on a good day.
Yep.
You know, the reality is that there's so much about my life. As a raft guide during the summers, I lived in what we called in staff housing, which we lovingly called randos. Basically, it was plywood held together with 2x4s with a tin roof and electricity running to it. I mean, there's no way you would do that with your kids, right? You know, if it's a fun kind of camping, roughing it expedition, sure. But living that way through the whole summer, there's no way you could do it. Mm-hmm. No way you could do it.
Yep.
You know, and it's one of those things that you change about your life, and you don't think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you look back and it was a fun job. It was a paid vacation. You know, I got to play in the river 5 days a week. And
how about this? And Andrew, we'll come to you in just a moment. can you imagine 2000 Ben suddenly being transported to 2019, now soon to be 2020 Ben's life? Would you be anywhere ready to deal with the things that you're dealing with today?
No.
Yeah, I mean, not
not even close.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, I don't think we think about these types of things. I don't know how often we go back and kind of think back, you know, reminisce. I don't know if it's a great word for that, but you know, think back to all the ways that we have been changed.
Well, one of the things that I actually think back on a regular basis is, you know, what would I tell myself if I were in high school?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I was not a great student in high school. I was like, you know, D is for diploma, which is not a track I encourage anybody.
Just do enough to get by.
I'm just doing enough to get by. I graduated high school with the exact lowest GPA that you could graduate high school with. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about it to myself a lot of times, what would I go back and tell myself if I could just tell myself, you know, for 5 minutes, a 5-minute conversation with myself, what would I say? Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, when I was in college, you know, and one of the things that I just told myself, don't be an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that is one of the things that I look at. I'm like, when I was a high schooler, I had even early college, I was like, I was so independent, so desiring to be independent, so desiring to, quote unquote, be myself, that I was a moron, mm-hmm. like in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And if I had actually been more self-aware,
yeah,
I would have realized I'm being an idiot and the only person I'm hurting is myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think self-awareness is something that we all need. We all need, but it's not something that always comes naturally. I know many an adult, right, who has little to no self-awareness, and it only hurts themselves, you know.
Sure.
Andrew, here we are, 2019, moving into 2020. How different is life today than it was back when you were 16-year-old Andrew running around playing baseball?
Well, in some way, I don't know. It's weird because I'm hearing this, and I was listening to Ben's, and it was interesting to hear, because knowing you and thinking about, like, I don't know you from then, I know you from now, you know, and it's a very, very interesting thought. I don't know if this is gonna what we're going for, but the honest answer is not tons of difference. I mean, it's just more of a. What I mean by that is my faith. I got saved when I was 5, and it was a legitimate faith, and it was the guiding hand of God that got me through from that point till now. And am I more mature now? I would hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, am I more self-aware, as we were saying? I hope so. Did I make dumb decisions at that point? Yeah, I made some dumb decisions. Have I made some now? Yeah. But the faith was such a big deal to me then, mm-hmm. that it really, it wasn't because of me. It was because the Holy Spirit protecting me, guiding yeah. me, providing. Hmm. Like, I even have some of the, like, I'm doing some of the same things now that I wanted to do then. Mm-hmm. You know, from a career standpoint, from a ministry family standpoint, it seems to be a lot more of a, you know, the Holy Spirit that was propelling me then is just, you know, it's the same track. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's all right. But with that being said, you were a single man. You didn't know your wife at that time.
No,
certainly didn't have any children at that time.
No.
So today you are married.
Sure, yeah.
You met your wife
in
2000.
Yeah, I met her then, and I told her I was going to marry her.
Yeah.
We got married. So that's what's weird. I mean, I really, yeah, it's a weird thing.
But you also have 3 kids.
3?
Couldn't have imagined.
Now that's a big change.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big one, not only from just the real – you know, as Ben was commenting on, like, the difference, and the thing I realized was how selfish I was prior to children versus after, because, you know, my wife and I have talked about that quite a bit, how, like, take sleeping, for example, you know, not just when you have a baby, but, like, even when you have younger kids, and, you know, they're up at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and you're like, you don't have to do this, you know, and then you realize, well, wait a second, you know, I'm just complaining, and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's a huge difference, huge difference.
Yeah. You know, similar to what y'all mentioned, I now have 3 kids, which is still getting used to that.
I will say this. Tell me if you agree.
Yeah.
This is a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to start out with me.
Yeah.
It was harder to go from 0 to 1 than it was 2 to 3.
I think so. I think that's true. Yes. Again, you mentioned the selfish piece in particular, man, and I can see it so much more clearly now than I could back then. How selfish I was, you know, it was all about me. Even when Steph and I met, still, you know, I mean, silly examples. There was one night, we had gone out and, you know, I took her home. She was living in an apartment at the time, near USF. I was living in Riverview, you know, 25 minutes away or so. And, I'm almost home, and she called and said, "Hey, I heard a noise." And she was by herself. Her roommates were not there. And I'm like, why are you calling me? And, you know, like, I can't imagine doing that now. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, I'm turning around immediately and I'm getting there as quickly as I can. But
at that point, you're just thinking, like,
I'm like,
deal with it.
Like,
or whatever.
I'm almost home. I'm ready to get to bed. I'm ready to go to bed, you know? And anyway, and she can give you more than that example. There's a lot of examples like that that she can give you.
Maybe she will listen to this episode.
Well,
maybe we'll ask her to listen
to this
episode.
Yeah. One thing that she's mentioned is, you know, man, I'm glad I didn't know you back then, because I don't know that we'd be together now if I did. Back prior to even before then, you know, I was a little bit different then. She put up with a lot, you know, before we ended up getting married. But anyhow, those are some things that, you know, are significant. And I can't imagine, you know, going from 1999, 2000 to you know, that Chris to the 2019 version today, and say, you know, here's your new responsibilities that you have. You know, no, I mean, I would not be anywhere near ready, you know, for that.
I don't mean to make, you saying that, I don't want my answer to sound like I think I was then.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not it at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you were to ask me that question, no.
Well, and here's the other thing, you know, our the arc that we have, sure. everybody's is different, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody's is different. Everybody comes to... Well,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch it on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think of the three of us, maybe I'm mishearing you. It seems like you might have had a bigger change than us two, Ben. I don't know. It just seems like there's a big change that's happened. What was that marker for you? Was it?
Yeah, there was.
I mean, is there one you can pinpoint?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of them, but really, when God kind of showed me my own wickedness and own depravity, you know, those kind of things.
It was like a humbling moment.
Oh my goodness, you know. We're studying through Hosea right now. I've mentioned this before in life group, yeah. And you know, when I was listening to a message by Tim Keller on Hosea in particular, and something that he said really struck me. And if you go to chapter 3 of Hosea, you have Hosea there seeking after Gomer, who at this point has essentially been put up on the auction block to be sold, right, as a slave for 15 was it shekels? Barley and something else, Homer or something. And anyhow, she's you know, being there sold, and Keller, as he's kind of telling this to his congregation, you know, he mentions, you know, from her standpoint, you know, here she's run away from you know, her husband. She's gone to other lovers. She's been an adulterous, you know, a wife. And here he comes, right? And being commanded by God, here he comes seeking after her and buying her back, right? Is there anything, did she do anything to deserve that? In fact, everything that she did was the complete opposite of that, you know? And when God brought me to that point, when I realized, man, I don't deserve this, and yet here he is drawing me in. Here he is seeking after me, even in this. It changed my life. Completely changed my life.
That was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Sorry to make you go off topic there.
Yeah, yeah, no. Again, you know, it would be my prayer that you know, everyone would be able to come to that point. I was mentioning earlier today, I was watching a retelling of A Christmas Story, and actually there's so much in that, in particular, like theological parallels that we can see in Scrooge, you know, himself. And again, I haven't read Dickens.
Charles Dickens.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't. But you know, from what I gather with the different, you know, the Mickey Mouse and the different versions. There's a Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol. Yeah, yeah. But that's not the one I was watching today.
It's really good.
Anyway, by watching through these things, you know, you have this idea of purgatory apparently with his business partner, and then, you know, here he is, and here these spirits are coming and basically, you know, helping him see himself, and essentially what they're doing is trying to help him see his own depravity.
His depravity.
Yeah, yeah, and until he gets to that point where he's this is what I deserve. Until he gets to that point, nothing changes, you know. But at that point, and again, it's very, very clear in my life in particular where that changed everything for me, when I realized, man, no, I here I was up to that point thinking, oh, I'm a good person, you know, and you know, I deserve the things that I have and things like that. And man, once I realized that's absolutely not true, man, yeah, completely life changing.
Cool.
Anyways, back to this. Let me see here. Yeah, okay, well, we're kind of already talking about this. The question is this, Ben. How has your relationship with... Actually, I'll start with you, Andrew. How has your relationship with Christ changed? You know, you mentioned you already, you know, had a relationship with Christ at that time.
Yeah, I got a good answer to that
one. Okay.
Okay, because you hit on it with yours. I don't have this dramatic going from, you know, the wild stories to this, but mine was religious pride.
Okay.
Because I grew up in the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing all these things, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
That turned to be my vice, where I thought I was, and I'll never forget, this happened, I don't know how many years ago, but it was we're not talking like teenager, we're talking upper 20s, 30s, you know, where God really rebuked me and said, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing that you were saying. Yeah. That mine was coming from, well, I'm doing all these
almost
things.
Almost the older brother, the prodigal son.
That's a great way of saying it. Yeah. So that's a big one where I've learned, you know, I'm the prodigal son. I am the lost sheep. It's not that I'm just going to help everybody else. God, he saved me, you know? So that was a big one. But in that, what's really been cool for me is it doesn't negate all the wonderful things he was doing in those 20 years.
Yeah.
So even though pride was growing alongside of of learning to love the word of God, learning to serve, learning all those good things that he was doing, they're not negated. Mm-hmm. You know, he was doing that, and then he decided to – I think I've still got miles to go with the pride. I probably have to deal with that the rest of my life. But that was a huge change, you know. So that's one – and let me – another one really quick. I have seen in the last 20 years – a continual drawing back to the regular disciplines of the faith. Like we don't have to come up with something new, you know, reading the Bible, praying, attending a local body and being faithful to that have just really, like God has really taught me, like, and it's been a comfort to me that I don't have to find new patterns. There's, he's already laid it out and I just follow his pattern. Yeah. So it's been a good one for me.
Going back to your first one there for a moment, there was a conversation I had with a friend of mine several years ago, and it's this idea that we have God is sovereign, right? God has laid out this plan for us, and yet in our own wickedness and our own sinful, willful desires, we tend to stray off the path, and yet He still uses the sin, right, and the consequences of that sin to draw us to Himself. And there was a time when I would argue, but I wish I could go back and not have to deal with that. And I still feel that way in a sense that I wish I didn't have to deal with that pain. But at the same time, because the only way that I would have ever gotten to that point is through Him using that, the consequences of my sin, to show that, to essentially put a mirror in front of me and say, no, this is who you really are.
Yeah.
And so that's something I think that's changed, for me as well, is I look at that. And again, I certainly don't relish it. I don't, sure. Think back with glee, right?
Yeah.
I think back with regret and certainly sorrow that I had to deal with those things. But man, also with much joy that He used those things to redeem me.
Yeah. So, I think in the book of Romans, it talks about how he's consigned like all of our sin because he's using that even as you were stating. So yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah.
Ben, what about you, man? Last 20 years, how has your relationship with Christ changed?
I think my relationship with Christ has really changed in a lot of ways because in the 20 years I've gone from just wanting to do things like my way and just have things kind of my way. Again, I think it leans into like the selfishness that you guys were talking about, to like having my life be my life and then just add Jesus to it. Which is very much like the degree track that I was in. You know, I mentioned I had a fine arts degree or fine arts associate's degree. And the reason I had the fine arts associate's degree is because I wanted to go into the art side of marketing. You know, that's what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be a good church member and, you know, just move on with my life and go through that, like you said, just go through that regular pattern of life. But things didn't work out that way, not by a long shot, you know. And I think that just that whole orientation of life has really changed, just this idea of a rhythm of life and an orientation of life that is sold out to what Christ is doing. And I'm not trying to say, you know, for me, God's call in my life, it also meant going into vocational ministry, but that's not, not everybody has to go into vocational ministry to be sold out to what God's plan is or for their life, you know. Andrew works for a nonprofit. Chris is a lawyer. You know, we all have different roles that we fill and we play in the midst of all that. And all of that, again, and I think we have also worked through this in one of our earlier episodes, dealing with God's calling, you know. It's the calling being transformative, I think, in my life is probably the biggest difference between 2000 and 2020 for me. To honestly understand about the transformative power of God's calling in your life and what that means, and just the calling in my own life to help others find that in their life. and just what that means to walk with God in that sanctification process and just move along in that way.
You use the word transformative, and again,
one of my favorite words.
I think it's important. Transformative in the sense that it's everything that we do. It's correct. Everything that we are. It's everything that we ever will do. Mm-hmm. And when we use this word, as you mentioned earlier in an earlier episode, the idea of, you know, compartmentalizing our faith. And I can tell you, I can look back and see a time when I absolutely was doing that. Again, not to say that I don't fall into that trap from time to time and say, well, you know, that's over here. I don't certainly do it intentionally, but I know there was a time when that's kind of all it was. It was here's my life plus Jesus. Right?
And it's the thing is that we forget is that the reason we do that is because it's easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a lot harder to think through your life in a meaningful way, especially because we tend to go through life passively as opposed to actively.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we don't do things, mm-hmm. but we tend to
just let life come to us.
We hit a routine, and then we go through the routine, and then we stay with the routine, and then only when the routine is distorted, is shifted, is missed, do we go, wait, whoa, slow the boat down. What just happened there?
Yeah.
And the reality is that living your life in an active way through God's calling, again, is that transformative calling, requires a lot more of an active participation in your life,
mm-hmm.
Even in your own life, in the sense of now I need to do a better job of thinking through, you know, I went to the grocery store for my wife. Was that a good thing to do as a husband? Was it a bad thing to do as a husband? You know, do I think through some of those things? Is that even worth considering? Or do I just realize that helping my wife out is a good thing? And I just need to step into that when I can, mm-hmm. you know, is it worth, you know, but it's an active part of life because now you have to apply the standards and the joys and the love of the life that God has called you to how you're actually living.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that naturally we do that.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, this self-sacrificial part of our lives, again, as a disciple of Christ, right, that's something certainly he bore out, right, for us, certainly. And I think we're called to do that, right, in our relationship with our wife, in our relationship with our children, so on and so forth. You know, always giving. And I, that's something I always have to, that selfishness of Chris, you know, I had a long day. I did this, I did that. And Steph's like, hey, and I need you to, can you do this for me? No, you take care of that. You know, it's easy for me to do that. And I have to stop myself and say, whoa, you know, we're in this together, right? We're in a partnership here. We need to work together. And I need to give of myself. Yeah, I may be tired. Yeah, I may have worked a long day, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? This is what you're called to. So that self-sacrificial nature, I think, of just life in general is something that's been a big change too, mm-hmm. Over the last 20 years. Let me ask you this: last 20 years, 2000 to 2019, on the verge of 2020 here, what are some big wins that you've had? And again, I'm gonna let you take this any way you would like. What are some big wins? Maybe one or two in that time frame.
Oh, one or two. I was gonna name like.
There you go. That's fine. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
One is an easy one. It's my wife.
Yeah.
It's an easy one. It's not a cliche one. We are really best friends. We really like each mm-hmm. other. That's one.
And real quick, Ben, agree, disagree in your situation?
Oh, no, Cassie. Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, I can 100%.
I'm just grateful that Cassie still decides to put up with me.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you mentioned cliche again. It's not a cliche. It's not a cliche. I think the three of us are very, very fortunate, right? Yeah. That's the kind of relationship that we have and that God's been, you know, gracious enough to give us.
Anyway, we just celebrated 13 years together. Okay. Another one for me is, again, it sounds cliche, but really, I love my kids.
Yep.
It's just amazing to see these kids. And, you know, I think about each one of them individually and what mm-hmm. they mean. I won't go into that, but the kids. And then I've seen some stuff career-wise. I've been very happy about that. I feel like God's blessed me in. Educationally, I feel like I've had some wins there. I got some things done that I wanted to get there. And then on a non-serious side, we need another one. But Tennessee won the national championship '99 going into 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
First BCS, ready for the next one.
Yeah.
That's the only sport thing I can really like big. I can celebrate.
Yeah,
you know.
For me, it was the Bucks 01-02, big win, won the Super Bowl finally. It's the first and only one we've had.
That was Chucky, right?
That was, yeah.
But that was Tony Dungy's team.
That's true.
Correct?
That's true. Okay. Yeah,
right. I'm just seeing if I'm on remembering the team right.
Yeah, no, and I, you know, you mentioned the kids again. I'm gonna point to Ben. You mentioned your two kids, man.
Oh no, I'm absolutely gonna agree with that.
Yeah,
my two daughters are. They are delights and personalities all on their own,
yeah.
And they're just every one of them is. Both of them are just so unique, mm-hmm. and I love having them both.
Yeah.
I do not like that I am the only man in a house of three girls. Yeah. That is
that's tough.
I think it's wearing off on you, too. I think we got to do something about that.
Shut up.
Yeah, right, so actually, and so you have, you're the only man in your house.
Correct.
I have Seth.
You're outnumbered, though.
But I am outnumbered with the three girls, and then you actually outnumber. Yep.
We have three boys. Male.
That's right. That's
two
right.
Two girls.
That's right. For me, I, you know, going with the kids, man, I think back, and man, McKenna, you know, as a when she was a baby, and you know, when she was the only one, it's like, man, there's no way in the world I could love another child as much as I love McKenna. And then Seth was born. It's like, holy smokes, where did that come from?
It's a crazy
how could I possibly
thing,
have as much love for another child?
And then you get your third
and
one.
It's
like, what?
That's impossible. And the other thing is after you have these children, too, you look back and like, how did I ever do life without them?
That's one that I've thought of often.
Yeah.
It's like, because you were talking about that, like a big change.
Yeah.
And it's hard to remember.
Yeah,
like,
it
what
is.
Would you do without, like, you know, in that first year, you feel more selfish. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I wish I could just do this,
right?
But now I'm like the other night, Bailey spent the night two nights away she went over to the grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. And we still had two more, you know. But it was like, it wasn't like, I get a break. It was like,
when is her? Where's she at?
We would chat right now,
uh-huh.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry. But that's,
no, that's
all
right.
Crazy.
Ben, got another one? Win?
Big wins?
Yeah. Anything. Again, it could be anything at all.
You know, I in the last 20 years, man, I got a master's degree and a bachelor's degree and an associate's degree.
And coming out of high school with a, what kind of GPA you say?
Minimal required for exit.
Again. No, that's significant, man.
It's a huge win.
It is. And, you know, I'm very blessed to come out of the educational circumstances that I did.
That's the one that's so shocking to me because I know Ben.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I can't.
Yeah,
picture,
just assume he was always a good student.
Yeah,
yeah,
can you picture Ben being a D student?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't make sense.
I was awful.
I would love to meet that Ben because I would like to look at him. I know what you're going to do. Right now. You're being an idiot right now.
But yeah, man, that was
huge.
That's
a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like Andrew said with something else earlier, it's not to be boastful. It's just to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I think for anything else, because you know, like you guys have the locality of knowing who I am now,
mm-hmm.
but just, you know, the difference of wanting to know and wanting to understand and wanting to, you know, and I think this has to do with, again, that transformative idea of calling. Wanting to love God in such a way that I really am willing to lay down everything I got, you know, all of my head, all of my heart, all of my mind and my soul,
and
just
that
to
comes
really
with education, right?
Yeah, and that comes with education. How do you love God with all your mind unless you're willing to
learn.
Put the hard work in to learn? And so, you know, that's a big win for me professionally. ironically, this is and for me. This is both a professional realization as well as a relational realization. I work with a guy who was one of my best friends growing up. Some people don't know that Pastor Jeff and I grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the same church. His mom was our children's choir director. We went to the same high school. You know, we shared so much of those formative years together to come back and to be professionally working alongside
mm-hmm.
of him
pretty neat.
As the lead pastor of our church is absolutely a win
mm-hmm.
in my view of the world.
Trying to hold on to that job, Andrew.
4 days.
4 days.
We got more than 4 days. I was thinking, I don't even know how I came up with that number later. Like, it's only like December 22nd. You got 9 days.
Well,
math.
Maybe that's
okay.
How many work
wins.
Days he has.
Okay. Okay. So 4 days comes from this. Like, we've got tomorrow.
Yeah. The New Year's
and
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Christmas Eve. Yeah. Right.
Sunday the 29th.
Yeah.
And New Year's Eve.
Okay.
You're helping me out.
There
you gave me another one.
All right,
so,
let me.
So I only have 4 days.
Let me, and I'll just give you, you know, I mentioned the Bucks, obviously, from a sports standpoint, that was that. From a professional standpoint, honestly, my biggest win was a huge, huge loss. 2007, graduate from law school, Stetson. I didn't start my own firm right away. I actually went and tried to do something else. Didn't work out. Finally said, all right, let's try this thing. And 2009, started my own firm. Failed miserably. And absolutely, you know, God brought me to my knees. I literally balled up in the fetal position at times. There were nights I would come home, and that's how I was. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I was. This would have been, yeah. So married and with a baby at this point. Come 2010. Wow. Yeah. And I don't have any idea how this is gonna work. And it was God bringing me, showing me. No. Because I up to that point, one of the other things is so much pride. Like, I could do whatever I wanted to, and anything that I do is going to work, right? That's kind of the mindset that I had. And this was the first real big failure that I'd ever experienced, professionally, academically, those kind of things. And so I was like, oh, wow, I don't know how to handle this. But God used that in a big, big way. Had I succeeded at that time, I don't know that I would be where I'm at today, spiritually, in my relationship with Christ in particular. And it's so much better, you know, where I am today, having gone through that is so much better. Would I want to go back and experience that again? Absolutely not. But I needed it, and he knew I needed it. And so that's my biggest win was a loss. But again, I needed it in a big, big way. So with that being said, as far as biggest losses, do you have anybody that you lost, friend, family member, that was pretty influential over the last 20 years?
So from a personal side, I lost my grandfather, my grandmother, and my grandmother. So my dad's parents and my mom's mom. And those kind of – they didn't happen at the same time, but they were close enough. Well, we had some aunts and uncles pass away in that time too.
Yeah.
That I was at an age where it really hit me in the sense of I was close to the people I mentioned, but it hit me from a – I learned pretty quickly – like, okay,
life is short.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee. I actually had he wasn't a close friend, but he was a friend who died in a car accident kind of in that same period too. And that was like, it was more the totality of that to see that, professionally, similar what you said, something I'd really worked hard for. And I actually accomplished that. And then I felt the hollowness of it. And it made me ask, like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. If this is what I'm pursuing,
yeah,
I've got a miserable life ahead of me.
Almost Ecclesiastes then,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And that was a big one. So it might not be a loss. It felt like a loss at that time, you know, because like you work so hard to get something, then you get it, and then it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe one more loss was, I don't know how to put this one, but from a standpoint of, again, it's kind of a, you know, we have the beauty of sanctification to see through these, you know, but I didn't realize how big of a deal money was to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a season where I was, you know, you're trying to figure out how to cover this and this. And I got, it was not fun at all.
Yeah.
As hard as it could be. Hindsight coming through it now, faith wise, it's transformed me. But during that time, you know, man, that was hard.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very hard thing. So, I don't know if that answered your question, but those were some challenges for me. So, yeah.
Ben?
Or losses, I mean.
Yeah, I think, again, we're all about the same age, so we've all kind of hit that where grandparents are kind of passing away, and we're kind of dealing with the loss from that from various levels. So I lost my dad's father, and I lost my mom's mom. I wasn't terribly close with either one of them, unfortunately for me. But we lost both of them. In fact, it's kind of strange that my grandfather, my dad's dad, was never a believer. So it's kind of this very surreal kind of like, on the one hand, there's the terrible loss of the Christless eternity that he's kind of gone into. But on the flip side, it's very, very much a big issue of it's the reality that you have to face, and there's that challenge that goes with it. But I think professionally, I think one of the biggest challenges I've ever had is I've always been fairly successful wherever I've gone. But having to be like basically being fired, like I was asked to resign from a job, and that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of go into something and you're like doing everything you can and you feel like you're doing a lot of things right and you're beginning to, especially in ministry, you're beginning to make influences and impact in people's lives. And then to all of a sudden say, hey, look, we're going to need you to resign. We don't want to fire you, but we want you to resign.
Yeah.
And that was a big loss. That was like emotionally, that was a big loss for me too. I didn't know that I was never going to come back to ministry, but it definitely made me pump the brakes and be like, I really want to do this? You know, do I really want to have this fight and slog through this again, only to come back to this kind of point again? You know, fortunately, I'm in a very different place and during a different time right now. But that was hard. That was a big loss for me, and it kind of signals my family at that time into a financial bind at the moment. We still had Cassie was working at the time, so we still had some income, but to go from two incomes and one family to one income. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I could pick up a part-time job, but there wasn't a whole lot more I can do than that because Lexi still had school and we had to figure that out. And, you know, there were some logistical issues why Cassie couldn't do. So that was all very challenging for me in terms of all that. But, and now, you know, I look at where I am today and again, it's just one of those things that, you know, even to kind of to echo the story that you're saying that you guys have shared, not to be cliche, but if I didn't have those struggles, I don't know that I would be where I am today. Yeah. In fact, I know that one of the challenges that came out of me resigning was spending, you know, several weeks really in counseling, trying to figure out, you know, just how I feel through this instead of and how I think through this. And it was a big loss, but it was really transformative being able to have somebody who was able to speak into my life from a biblical perspective and really say, hey, look, you have to deal with some of these issues in order to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of the big loss and how that kind of shaped it for me.
You know, along those same lines, just one more thing and then we'll move forward. When I was going through that really, really tough time I was mentioning a few minutes ago, you know, depression, like severe depression, you know, really, really kind of deep thoughts, you know, dark thoughts.
Talking about with your business?
Yeah. And so the thing that's interesting now is I since 2010, I've worked with individuals that suffer from mental health. And had I not experienced that, I would have very little empathy, right, for my clients. You know, I think, oh, come on, it's ridiculous that, you know, you're having thoughts that, you know, these kind of things that are preventing you from being able to work. But because I've experienced it and know just how physically draining it actually is, God has even used that. You know?
You've had that I want to hide in a corner
right,
moment.
Exactly,
and you're just
exactly.
like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so next, we have about 10 minutes or so. We got kind of a lot of ground to cover, so we'll go kind of quickly here. But I wanted to ask this, next 20 years, for you, you'll be how old in 20 years?
I will be 55.
Ben?
I will be 59.
59. I'll be 58. So we will be in a significantly different part of life at that time. Your oldest child will be how old in 20 years?
29.
Ben? 29 as well, I think.
Yeah,
right?
29. So 29 soon going 30. On 30.
Yeah, yeah, and mine will be 30. So to think about that.
No, we're not thinking about that, Chris.
But I mean, again, you know, the different, you know, your children could be married in that time frame. Very, you know, very possibly will be. They could have children of their own. You could be grandparents in that time frame. And then you've already mentioned, you know, lost, you know, grandparents and things like that.
Correct.
Certainly, we, you know, same here. You know, and now you start moving into even closer. closer to us in parents, and where will they be? You know, again, my prayer is that my dad will be 91 and going strong. And my mom will be, you know, 86 and going strong, 85 rather. But we, you know, again, realistically, right, we don't know. We don't know what, and again, we don't know whether we'll be here. You know, mm-hmm. we're not promised tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but with all that being said, not to be morbid in this thinking, but to be hopeful, what are some hopes that you have for the next 20 years? What do you want that to look like? Where in an ideal world, where would you be in 20 years?
We'll start from a family circle.
Yeah.
I will have a 29, a 25, and a 23-year-old. I hope that all of them have transitioned, or, you know, even the 23, yeah. I hope they've all transitioned to be on their own, mm-hmm. doing well. And what I mean by that is in the faith, doing what God has called them to be doing. If they're in marriage, you know, if that's marriage, great. You know, just whatever that looks
yeah.
like. Just where they're supposed to be in the faith, doing well. Wife, it'll be 33 years of marriage. I Michelle and I have commented on this often. It seems that our relationship just gets better over the time, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'm assuming that'll be the same. I mean, there is no indication otherwise. So I hope that that's the place. Career wise, I love what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very content to be doing that. There are things I'd like to grow within that,
mm-hmm.
you know, from where we are now. Church wise, I'm that's the one that's different for me. I'm and I've shared with you guys at different levels about different things, for those who don't know listening, I pastored about a year and a half ago, and I pastored for 12 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a bigger transition coming out of that and learning how not to be in that.
Yeah.
So I hope in 20 years I will feel very confident in my involvement of the local church, mm-hmm. meaning I know exactly where I need to be, know where to pull off and where to pull in. I hope I get that before 20 years, but
yeah,
you know. And then I hope physically and athletically that I can stay in decent enough shape. You know, that's something I think about more now. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not just about like trying to look good. I
mean, yeah.
I think of it like, okay.
Just from a health standpoint.
Yeah, longevity and yeah. being able to do things, you know, so I think that kind of covers everything.
Yeah,
so that's my hope.
I know my knees. I still play tennis at least once a week, and I get done with that, man. My knees are just absolutely barking at me, if you will.
Are you feeling it in your back yet?
Not in the back. I haven't in the back.
No.
I like. There's only been like one or two times where yeah. like you hear men talk about, oh my uh-huh. back.
Yeah.
I had one time. I was like, okay, I could maybe see that coming. Yeah. You know. But
I have a feeling by the time we're in our late 50s,
I do make a lot of noises when I stand up.
Hey, we'll go ahead and make a pact, assuming that we're all around in 20 years. We'll definitely come back and revisit this thought.
I think,
and we'll look for the next 20 years.
Yes.
Ben, what about you, Ben? In 20 years,
where do I want to be in 20 years? I think like Andrew, I want my girls to be very self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
My girls are very independent already.
Yeah.
Both of them, the 2-year-old thinks she runs the world,
mm-hmm.
Which I have no problem with her doing, in 20 years. But I think too, you know, one of the gifts that we've already been given is that Lexi has accepted Christ as her savior.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been baptized and she's already growing in her faith. And that's phenomenal in our own world. One yeah. of the things that I want is I want my youngest daughter to do the same, to yeah. accept Christ as her savior
yeah.
and to grow in that faith and to just begin to continue to work with them and walk alongside them mm-hmm. as they do that. I actually look forward to the privilege of walking alongside my daughters as they grow in their mm-hmm. faith.
Yeah.
That's something I want.
Yeah.
That I long for,
mm-hmm.
Because more than anything, you know, one of the things you mentioned is that, you know, one of these days that our kids are going to be married,
mm-hmm.
and I want their spouses, if that's the way that God yeah. leads them, I want their spouses to be the kind of people who mm-hmm. are going to encourage them yep. and to grow them, especially as I have daughters, to lead mm-hmm. them
yeah,
well,
right.
In the faith. So that's something I want for the next 20 years, to set the example as what a good husband and father should be, so that mm-hmm. that my daughters see what they should be looking for.
Yeah.
Professionally, I just want to be doing ministry
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Wherever that is.
Wherever that is.
Whatever that looks like.
Whatever that is, wherever that looks like. you know, I'm not planning an exit strategy by any stretch of the imagination, but I also know that, that God continues to move people the way that he moves people.
Yeah.
And that my greater call is my obedience to him than it is to the conformity to any local body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I trust in that, but I also trust that the relationships and the friendships and the discipling and mentoring relationships that I'm building here now, where I am, will continue to grow over the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that means that they're via long distance. I think about that because I have a former student who is going into seminary and is going to be doing a 2+2 program with Southeastern. So he's going to be going onto the mission field in the next 3 years, to 3 years. You know, he still messages me on a regular basis and says like, "Hey, look, I have a question about blank," you know, and then I'll call him or I'll text him or I'll message him or whatever, you know. So I hope that that's the legacy of my life, mm-hmm. that wherever I go, whether I'm here at Northcliff or whether I'm someplace else, that it will be an opportunity for me to continue to pour into the lives of people and point them at Jesus and watch them shape and transform more into the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I hope for the next 20 years professionally.
Yeah. For me, again, I'll echo what both of you have said from our children's standpoint. I one of the prayers that I have is that as my kids look at me, they're going to see me looking at Jesus, just staring at Jesus and becoming more and more like him. You know,
so they become very familiar with the back of your head.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There you go. And, that's what I want. You know, I want them as they're growing up, you know, to know that this is not simply an add-on, right? Jesus isn't an add-on. The church isn't just somewhere we go, right? But we are the church. It's something that we are. I want them to have a real faith, right? I want them to have a real mm-hmm. relationship with Christ, one that's ever growing, you know, day after day, and a desire for him that's ever growing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, first and foremost, and again, you know, each of us has said that, but it's not, we're not saying that, you know, because we want somebody to hear what we're saying and say, oh, you know, yeah, okay, that's good. Nope. That's what we want, right? That's what we want mm-hmm. for our lives. That's certainly what we want for our children's lives. And we want it for anybody that may be listening at some point.
Correct.
We want it for their lives, you know? If you are out there listening and you don't have these desires, you know, I pray that you would.
It's not our self-will that's given us these desires.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Christ is like
right.
Both of you said, and I think I should say, too, like, he's transformed us.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, professionally, I wouldn't, we started the law firm a couple years ago. I wouldn't at all be surprised if I'm not doing that in 20 years. And if he has called me somewhere else, you know, in ministry at some point, you know, it's funny. I look at kind of my career arc and sometimes he's puts me in a different place just to get me away from the previous place where I was. Yeah. I mean, and even going into that, I kind of felt like, well, you know, I don't know that God necessarily wants me in this place, but I think it's a way for him to get me away from here. And again, not as it was a bad place or anything. It's just something that I was having a hard time, you know, pulling away from. And so anyway, I what that would look like, I don't know. But like you said, both of you, you know, it's somewhere where we're serving him in whatever capacity and glorifying him and honoring him and bringing glory to his name in whatever that may be. So anyhow, last, we're going to wind down. We're actually a lot longer than we had thought. We might end up splitting this up into two episodes. I don't know. We'll see. We'll play that by ear. But we'll do a little rapid fire real quick. Okay. Rapid fire. All right. Do you do, Andrew, start with you. Do you do, you know, reading the Bible in a year type of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Now, are you intentional in that you have some kind of an app or a Bible or a book?
Yes. I have a plan.
Okay. You have a plan. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I have a plan as well. I'm actually going to be doing something a little bit different this year.
Uh-huh.
I picked this up from the C.S. Lewis Institute, which is really cool. It's you read 6 chapters a day from different genres of literature in the Bible. So it's going to be a little bit different approach.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be new. Yeah, ultimately it'll get you through. Actually, you'll read
you'll do more than that.
Yeah, you'll read the whole, what it ends up being is you end up reading the Old Testament, I think, twice and the New Testament like 3 times or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I've done that in the past. You know, these types of plans. I don't currently. I don't have an intent on doing that in 2020. You know, we'll see. And again, not because I don't like it, not because it's not a good plan.
What kind of Christian are you?
I know.
You don't have a plan.
reading the Bible, you know, on a daily basis, but I'm not necessarily looking to do that. Again, there's good approaches. You know, all of those are good approaches. The next thing, what about devotionals? Do you have a devotional, like a daily devotional that you use, Ben?
I'm kind of a mess when it comes to devotionals. Yeah. Sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't. Yeah. I kind of float through like five of them at the same
time. We have two different answers here. So tell me, you say no. Is there a reason?
No.
Okay.
I will say real quick, the Paul Tripp Advent devotion we've been doing as a family is awesome. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And his New Mercy devotional, also phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the ones that I flip back and forth between is actually New Mercy, the New Mercy mornings that Paul Tripp does. Yep. It's fantastic.
Yep. I think a lot of devotional stuff for me has been I like just reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are some cases, and this is why I think
Paul Tripp's good because it's deep.
Yeah,
the one we're giving away today will be deep.
And he pushes you back at the Bible. That's the thing that I love about Tripp is he pushes you back towards Scripture even in his devotionals.
Yeah,
which I think is so important.
Yeah, it's not fluff
for any devotional. Yeah, no, and that's one of my criticisms.
Neither will be this one,
yeah. Yeah, that's one of my criticisms of devotionals. Right. As a matter of fact, is that some of them are so fluff and so like emotional, we want to garner this emotional response from you that we're actually going to almost twist. I want to be very careful how I say that because I don't want to impugn the intent of the people who wrote the devotional per se, but they're almost kind of shoehorning Scripture into this emotional context that they want you to feel in order to connect with their devotional more than with the Word of God. And I think that's a dangerous thing.
But and I think probably the intent of a lot of devotionals is for individuals who don't currently have a habit of reading.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
that's why I don't have anything negative.
It's just, right. I think the danger is individuals can start doing that and then it's like checking a box. Well, I did it today, you know, as opposed to continuing to go deeper and deeper and deeper. End up staying right there at the surface level and not getting beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next we have, Okay. So again, straight rapid fire now. Let me do this. I'll start it this way. The top movies of 1999 and 2000. Okay. Here they were: Green Mile, The Matrix, The Sixth Sense. It's got a twist in it. If you haven't seen it, hey,
I think it has to do with the color red, right?
The Blair Witch Project, The Fight Club. Only one rule of Fight Club, right?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
You already broke it.
Toy Story 2. Toy Story 4 came out this year, right? Gladiator, Castaway, Meet the Parents, Mission Impossible 2, The Patriot, and Remember the Titans. So those
all
are
those movies except Mission Impossible 2 I've seen.
Yeah, okay, all right. So those are some movies back then. Again, you don't have to pick one of those, but is there a particular movie over the last 20 years?
I'm going
to
use that list.
Okay, you can.
Gladiator,
okay, all right. What about you, Ben? Is there one particular that stands out?
I love The Green Mile.
Yeah.
I really did. I love that movie. The book is written by Stephen King, which I think is really interesting. And I think it's a very interesting reflection on grace and retributive justice.
Mm-hmm. Since we're just kind of using this
list,
it'll make it easier. I'm going to go with Remember the Titans. Actually, watched that
the
other night.
Was the coach.
Died. Yeah, the coach
did
from Remember the Titans.
Oh,
yeah.
I did not know that. That's sad.
Good choice. The guy played by Denzel Washington.
Oh, the real guy. I got you. All right. The next thing here, and again, I'm gonna give you a list. You don't have to pick out of this list.
No, let's
use
the list.
Okay,
like
that's fine. Good. All right, here are the top songs in 1999. Believe by Cher. No Scrubs, TLC. Oh. Baby One More Time, Britney Spears. Genie in a Bottle, Christina Aguilera. Angel of Mine, Monica, and Livin' La Vida Loca, Ricky Martin. 2000, Breathe by Faith Hill. Smooth by Santana. Another by Santana was Maria. Destiny's Child, Say My Name. And I Knew I Loved You by Savage Garden.
Smooth was actually a collaboration with Rob Thomas.
Okay. All right.
Very good. I know that because it is my wife's favorite song in 1999, 2000.
Okay.
That was her jam, yo.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know if I can pick one for that.
You don't have to.
I'm trying because I want to stick to the list. I'll go with no scrubs.
That's, here, I'm going to cheat a little bit.
No scrub. What was that line? No, I don't know.
Don't do it. Please, please. I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm actually not going to pick one from here, but one that's been very meaningful to me. The hymns. I've definitely had I've kind of
spiritualized this. You give us scrubs and baby one more time.
No.
Ooh, the doxology. Yeah.
No. It's and now I'm drawing a blank. It is well. Love it, man. So anyway, it's not one that's here.
Was that big in 1999, 2000?
again, I told you I'm cheating. I'm just telling for me in my life, it's been one that's been
Michael W. Smith.
All right, and then the other one here. How about TV shows? Is there a particular TV show that was big over the last 20 years that you
I don't
maybe,
know. Two. Okay. Off real quick. Home Improvement, is that in that time frame?
I don't think so. I think that was when we were kids. That was not when I was a kid.
I'm younger than you.
So there you go. So it must not have been.
I'd have to be. How about
I Third thought Rock it was middle the, 90s.
Yeah, mid-90s. Yeah.
Okay. Third Rock from the Sun, I think, was.
Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that time frame?
I think that's right. I'll tell you, for me, a couple of them. The Office is pretty funny. Again,
that's not 2000.
Huh? No. I'm not saying from 99 or 2000. In the last 20 years, anything.
Oh, The Office. Easy.
Okay, The Office. Yeah,
I thought we were trying to find something from
2000. No. Yeah, I mean.
All right.
Yeah.
The Office.
And then another one that was big for me, 24. I watched like.
Jack Bauer.
Like every single episode there. Also, again, you had pointed to it earlier. We didn't get back to it, but 9/11 obviously was a big changing moment for the U.S.
Loss.
In particular. Yeah. In that 20 years.
Gilmore Girls.
Oh boy.
Oh God.
See
what we're
show.
Saying?
It's so
girls.
No,
in
no. But
house.
It is so dang funny.
No.
And the writing is brilliant.
He said the writing is brilliant.
The writing is brilliant.
All right. So, and then finally is this, what is one, I'll start. What is one New Year's resolution that you go back to, you've gone back to year after year? For me, there were two that I went back to. One was reading the Bible every day. Was one that I went back to year after year. Fortunately, right, through His grace, I definitely have a desire to do that, whereas once there was a time when I didn't, right? And then number two is losing weight. It's like every year, man, I get to this time and just eating everything in sight. And so that's me. What about you, Andrew?
Bible.
Yep.
And I will say, that's pretty much the one I keep going back to.
Okay.
Saving money. Saving money.
Good. Yeah, I like that. Ben?
Yeah, I think it's Bible and lose weight for me too.
Yeah.
Not to be a copycat or anything. Yeah, now
those are good ones, right?
Well, I mean, they're good. They're good, but it's like,
if you go on year after year, yeah, this
kind of
yeah,
you know,
that's unfortunate.
Kind of like, yeah, I'm here we go again.
I don't know, I'm following
that. Yeah. Anyhow, that has been that's it. No, 2019 is coming to a close.
We're gonna be like 20 years from now.
Decrepit. We're going to be in bad shape, I think. I'm going to be in bad shape.
Y'all can be in bad shape. I'm going to be in good shape.
Nice. Well, who wants to pray for us to end 2019?
I'll pray. All right. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men, Lord. I thank you when I hear their stories and I reflect on mine, I think we can all come to the conclusion it's because of your grace. And so, Lord, we look forward to another 20 years with you, either in this life or in the one to come, and we're grateful because we know it's in your grace as well. Lord, for the listeners out there, we pray, God, that they would hear that they would see you, and that, Father God, they would turn their full attention to you. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.